I had done everything to prepare. There was no stone unturned, you know, it's just like my diet, my nutrition, my training, my preparation, my peaking, my recovery, like everything I had done right. You know, it's like I had been, in my mind, I believed that I could be, I'd been the best in the world for 2 years, and I'd sat and watched, and it was my time.
You're listening to Spartan Combat on Spartan Up. Learn from battle-tested combat athletes. With your host, Ryan Warner.
Spartans! Welcome back to the Combat Series. This is your host, Ryan Warner. David Taylor is our guest today. He's a national champion wrestler from Penn State, also a world champion, who's set to compete at the Olympic trials next weekend. Enjoy it, folks.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Orgain. Clean nutrition to help you stay healthy, active, and feeling your best. New subscribers save 30% at orgain.com/pages/Spartan.
David Taylor, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to start at a juncture in your career. You'll have to let me know what year this was. What year was it when you had just wrestled over in Spain and you had a really hard time making the weight? I think this was after 2016, but before you decided to go up. Do you remember this tournament?
So that was in, I went on a double tour. It was the last time I made 74 kilos. I went to Armenia first, I went to Spain first and Armenia second. And it was in like June or July of 2015.
Perfect. So I want to zero in on this because this seems like a pretty big turning point in the sense that on that flight, you were really frustrated with the weight cut and you had decided to go up in weight. And Coach Cunningham goes, well, I know this guy out in California that could help you gain the weight. Talk us, and help us understand how you kind of came to that decision to move up a weight and what the process was then to bulk up to where you're at now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just sort of at a spot in my life where, you know, I've been successful since I was 8 years old, you know, and I graduated college and, you know, I think the next step that, you know, that I believed in, and I think probably the wrestling community was like, hey, this guy's on track to win world and Olympic gold medals. But the reality was, I just wasn't, you know, I think that I finished and I kind of stalemated. I wasn't really getting any better because I was so, it was just like a constant fight with my weight. And then injuries started building up, you know, because I was holding my weight down and I was kind of getting distracted. I had dealing with back issues for a long time. And my neck started hurting because I was compensating. And I remember specifically in the matches that I would have with with Jordan that year in 2014, that I was there, but then I just hit this like wall in the second period, not necessarily from a fatigue standpoint, but just like my back and my neck would just like basically give out. And I just get so stiff, you know, wrestling a guy like that, you start overreacting. So I had these frustrations, you know. Then in 2015, it was probably my worst performance of the trials. I lost to Dake, probably, it was really not that close. Came back, got third, and I was so frustrated. I went on that double tour that summer and I'm like, I gotta make changes or I seriously considering being done. You know, just that was kind of where I was at. So I was on that trip and I remember being on the airplane texting my dad and texting Kale and Casey, say, hey, I'm going up after this tour. And actually, the funny part of it is I had a really, really hard time making weight in Spain. Like, I remember I was sitting in the sauna and I'm just like dying. But it was one of those times where, and those people can probably relate to this, when you're cutting weight and it's like you don't necessarily, you kind of get it down to science where you know, like, man, if I got sweat up to a certain point, I've lost this much weight. And I was in there and, well, I actually lost too much weight and I was like a kilo under, which was crazy. Like that was like really, really light. And I'm like, man, this is, so I just didn't really recover there. I wrestled up, okay. Well, I went to Armenia. I actually made weight a lot easier because I had the relief of it. This is my last time. Mm-hmm. And I wrestled pretty good that tournament. Probably was probably one of my better times I had wrestled in a while at 74, but I think it was just that relief of knowing, okay, you know, I'm done with that. But then, you know, like you had said that, you know, so Coach Calavita, you know, Sam Calavita in California had worked with Coach Casey in his career. And I remember talking with him and he's like, all right, well, this is what we got to do. And I was like, well, I don't do these things. I don't do this. I don't lift. I don't. And it's like, after I've gotten to know Coach Cal later in life, he got off the phone. He's like, man, this kid's like, I'm never going to help this guy. You know, like we're so far off. But then I, you know, quickly, you know, realized, man, okay, I'm going to have to change up pretty much everything I've been successful with my entire life. I'm going to change these things, you know, and, I did, and it's been a long process. You know, Coach Cal and I have been working together. I mean, it's really, you know, this is kind of the culmination getting, well, it was going to be 2020, even now it's 2021, you know, so it's been really a 4 or 5 year process. And, you know, that was just, I think, you know, from a wrestling standpoint, you know, I was going to Penn State was probably the best decision I ever made, you know, just because it got me in a new atmosphere and was able to kind of really help me get to a new level and continue to help me get to new levels. I'd say the second best decision ever in my wrestling career was just going up in weight class and seeking out Coach Calavita, and just was able to kind of fall back in love with wrestling and in the whole process.
So what do you, and for people who don't know who Coach Calavita is, look up the Training Lab on Instagram, some of the most savage workouts you'll ever witness, whether it's, you know, Pico or you or any of those guys out there. It just looks incredibly difficult. And he's a math genius, I guess, and he really planes it all out. And people have talked about him before, so I won't rehash it here. But do you remember what were some of the things you go, Coach Cal, I just don't do this? And he's like, no, we're doing it. What was it?
So Coach Cal is like, he's very soft-spoken. I mean, he's really, really intelligent. Like I said, I mean, he's a world-renowned math teacher. You know, he has basically developed all his own algorithms, you know, in terms of recovery and his own recovery systems, you know, like everyone else is using, you know, Whoop bands, you know, and we have a system that he uses, you know, that's like spitting out specific data. So, I mean, it's just, you know, really fortunate, you know, and I was one of the original people that was working with him. You know, now he's busy, you know, he has people all over the world, especially in the MMA community. I mean, he's working with, I mean, the best are constantly seeking him out and he's having the same conversations with them, you know, and typically with Sam, it's like a 30-day period where he kind of tests you. He's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. In 30 days, you know, he knows what kind of what your results are, if you've done what you're doing or not, you know. And I remember, so I had taken pride at that point in my life, you know, people would be like, how much you bench, how much you squat? And I'm like, I don't lift weights, you know, I just wrestle, I have wrestling strength, I do pull-ups, you know. And but my back, and honestly, my back was hurt so bad that I couldn't even carry a load. Like if I got under a squat bar and I couldn't squat at all, like 95 pounds, couldn't squat. Wow. I had like no hamstring strength. And you know, if I did like a hamstring curl, I gotta be in my whole college career, like we go in for lifts, and if I lifted at all and like had like any like soreness or taxation on like my hamstrings, my back would just tighten up so bad. So it's just like, we kind of made a decision where I want to be ready for wrestling. I don't obviously want to like hinder that. And that was, you know, although I wrestled, kind of getting off track, but although I wrestled all my matches in college, I mean, I was hurt the entire time. Like my back every single week was, I mean, I don't know, most people probably weren't wrestling, you know, but to me, it was just, I was so important. I didn't want to miss any matches that I would just be like, barely, especially my junior and senior, my senior year specifically. I mean, there were a lot of weeks that I was not on the mat much, or if I was, it was just like play wrestling and I'm trying to monitor my weight. I was cutting a lot of weight, you know? So it was just like, that was kind of playing in that whole factor of, you know, all these things of what I did and didn't do, because that's what I had to do so I could go wrestle. But now at this level wrestling, like, I mean, we're talking about, come on, Kyle Dake and Jordan Burroughs, you know, or Sabalov, or that time Sargush. Like, these guys are the best wrestlers in the world, but are also just, they were stronger, faster, more physical than I was then, you know? So mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I was a very technical wrestler, but when it came to those attributes that you need to be the best, then I didn't have those things. So when Sam's asking me these things, I'm like, well, I haven't done these things, and I kind of getting over that stubbornness, but knowing that I need to do it. So, I mean, literally, when we first started, you know, I was like, all right, we got to do squats, and we got to, you know, eat this way. And I had eaten so bad my whole life that I had like basically what's called leaky gut. So my stomach was, they said holes in my stomach. I had like, you know, really bad stomach problems. Like I was a mess. It's crazy. As good of a wrestler as I was, I mean, I was doing a lot of other crazy stuff, you know? So, I mean, it probably took us a year to just build a foundation where I could actually then start developing like muscle mass and, you know, retaining nutrients from food and things like that. So yeah, I can't really remember back exactly. Sam's so smart, he could remember exactly the conversation, but we talked about that not too long ago. But yeah,
I didn't realize you were that hurt in college, man.
Yeah, well, dated back, I mean, I had back problems like my whole life. So I had this thing called, well, I still do, it was called lumbar Sherman's. So it's like really, it's common with gymnasts and linemen. And it's when you're not physically mature, which I didn't physically mature until I was out of college. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's 16, 17 year old high school kids that are, you know, more mature now than I was, you know, when I was a couple years post college. What happens is when you're not, you're spawned from all the wrestling that I did and wrestling bigger guys specifically and just over wrestling, you know, my base of my spine like compressed. And instead of your discs herniating out, like most people herniate, mine all herniate up. So my entire lumbar, it's like, if you look at like an X-ray or an MRI, it's just like black. Like usually you have white, like your discs are white. Mm-hmm. Mine are black, compressed. So there's basically no space. So like you have like, basically you have that, then you create, it's like spinal stenosis where you have like narrow root canal. That's like a little bit genetic, but so I constantly had nerve issues. And then when you do that with like dehydration and weight cutting and all that kind of stuff, it just expedited, it just made it all worse. So I dealt with that like all through high school. I mean, I had that as a young kid. I wore a back brace at two different times in my career, once in high school and once for like 4 or 5 months in college in the summer, after my sophomore year, going into my junior year. So I'd had that, and I dealt with this issue for a long time, but I always wrestled through it. But then from doing all that, then I started getting neck issues, and I had just constant stingers. Like every time I'd shoot, stinger, you know, so it's like right side, left side, getting like pain down my arms and in my hands and stuff, you know. So it's just, all wrestlers deal with that, you know. And I got to the point where I kind of knew how to moderate it, you know, like I kind of knew like certain things. But and there was a point in my freestyle career where it was almost like every single match, like I would shoot, get a stinger, you know. It's just like, it's just such a frustrating thing. So and now I basically don't have any of those issues. You know, it's just crazy what, with just like developing strength, muscle mass, good nutrition, and just understanding, you know, at this point in your career, like, okay, man, it's not like I'm not being tough. Like I go as hard as anybody goes when it's time to go, but there's times where hey, I'm going to have to take this one, you know, and take this off a little bit so I can, you know, be ready for the next practice. So yeah, I look back and it just gives me anxiety even thinking about it.
I can't even imagine. I mean, you have the grind of making weight, you're in pain all the time, and when you don't have a good diet, and I'm sure it wasn't that bad, but, you know, compared to what you're eating now where you're a machine, you know, you just kind of have this fog around you all the time when your diet's not right. I'm sure you look back now and you're like, how the hell was I eating that?
This was my diet. This is no joke. Like, and I'm just like anybody, you're a creature routine, you know? So typically it's like you kind of find what you like and you kind of stick with that. You're like, okay, well, you know, especially in wrestling, you know, you do something, you wrestle really good. You're like, okay, that's what I'm doing. And that's kind of what I did, you know? And I look back, I'm like, I don't even know how I even function. Like, I don't get it. So in high school, I mean, I don't know. High school was crazy, but in college, I would wake up and I would have a Chobani yogurt and I would put a mixture of oatmeal. So like, not like regular oatmeal, but like the oatmeal that you get, it's got like the blueberries and the strawberries, it's like just sugar, it's garbage. And I'd put that in the Chobani yogurt and I'd mix it up and that was my breakfast. But it's like nothing. I mean, it weighs like 3 ounces. And to me, it wasn't about calories or sugar or anything. It was about just total ounces. It's like, okay, if I just have 3 ounces here, you know, then, you know, I'll drink a little, you know, whatever, a little bit of water. And then for lunch, I would have a bowl of cereal, like Captain Crunch, but like, or you would just get the milk. So it's just like enough milk that wasn't completely dry, but again, weighed like 3 ounces. Then I go to practice. So that's what I'd have going to practice, which is like, now knowing what I know, it's like, you pretty much can't do any worse than that. Like, that's pretty bad, you know?
That's bottom of the barrel.
So go to practice, you know, you lose your weight, and then no matter, and just depending on what I weighed after practice, would be what I'd do for dinner. So it's like, okay, if my weight was good, I went to Chipotle, got a burrito. You know, if my weight wasn't good, I'd get, you know, the half of the sandwich from Subway. And that's like all I would have. And then it's just like, then you're just hungry till like you're trying to go to bed. And then I'd have a Cliff Bar or something. And it was just like that every day, you know, like, and it's just, I got to the point where, you know, I would get my weight down at 165 where I'd weigh like, I don't know, 170. And I would just, so I'd be miserable for like 2 months, weigh like 170. And then I just kind of could maintain that where I could kind of just hit weight and go back up. But I was just like a skeleton, you know? And it was just, I could rely on my technique. I could rely on, like, I knew what I could put forth when I was wrestling. And, but yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's pretty bad.
So that's the foundation. That's kind of the background you have going into working with Coach Calavita. And I've heard people say that when you work with Coach Calavita, you're pushed to points where it's a flight or flight. And whether it's, you know, the video of what it could be, you or it could be someone else in his garage, he has like this stationary bike. And I just want to ask you, are these the most, you know, demanding workouts you've ever been a part of in your entire career?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's only a few of us that work remote. I mean, pretty much with Sam, you're kind of all in. So most of those guys live there, you know, like the fighters, you know, and they're all world champions now, you know? Yeah. So it's, there's a reason why everyone's so successful. I mean, the ones that work remote are Pico, myself, Michael Chandler, I think are the only, and Lance Palmer are the four that work remote. But it's like, I mean, I wrote a blog about this a long time ago, and basically it's just like, you're all trying to like, please like this person. Like, you're like, you're just, you know, we're all trying, like, it's a battle. It's like, you send your workouts and you're just like, well, you know, these are what these guys got. And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to put myself through this brick wall. I'm gonna run through it. I'm gonna try and beat these dudes. You know, it's like this competitive atmosphere. But when you're there, it's like that plus 30% more, because it's just insanity. I mean, it's just like you're like when I'm out there, I'm just nervous before I know, because you don't know. Like when I'm at home, I know what my workout's gonna be, and I'm already nervous. When I'm there, I have no idea what the workout's gonna be. I just know it's gonna be like this hour and a half of just pain and misery. Pretty much what it's going to be, but it's just, but it's just constant competition. So and that's just what Coach Cal has got, a gift of motivating people, and he's got a gift of, just, I don't know. He says it and you're going to do it. You know, he's like, hey, we're going to lift this, you know, okay. Or I've never done this before, but I'll get it. You know, hey, we're going to do this. Well, okay. I've never done this before. I'll do it. You know, and it's just, he's got this special, it's called the garage, you know, and you have to be, not anyone's just invited to the garage, you know, you have to earn it being there. And if you're someone that doesn't, you know, there's a lot of people that have been in the garage once and never come back, you know, and it's kind of like a rite of passage to be there. And, you know, so he's got a special thing, and, you know, I'm super, it literally, I mean, talking about wrestling, you know, your podcast is, you know, wrestling changed your life. I mean, Coach Cal changed my life. I mean, he just from a whole perspective of how to approach training and truly wanting to be the best, and a whole like all in approach. Like, I always thought I was all in. I mean, you could ask any coach you've ever been with, and in terms of like what I put forth in practice was all in, you know? But it's all that stuff on the outside. Like, but I didn't know, I didn't really know, like, these are the things you need to do to be successful. Diet, nutrition, you know, 10, 12 years ago was just, I mean, you think you're eating good because, you know, you're, I don't know, not eating candy. You know, you don't even get it, like the whole level, a next level, what it is that Sam really opened my eyes to. And yeah.
So do you think when Kale was going through it, you know, knowing that Kale was your coach, when he was going through in the early 2000s, was he just getting by on his diet, or was he well ahead of his time and knew how to eat properly and was already working out like a Calavita athlete would?
I mean,
like, how could he not spot that and say, hey, dude, quit eating this crap all day? He did. Okay.
Oh, he'd always be like, dude, you got to stop eating candy. And I'm like, I'm like, coach, I'm tech following these guys. And I'm paying these guys. Like, my routine after weigh-ins was I would weigh in and then I would drink a soda. And it was like this like stubborn pride thing. Like, oh, these guys are, you know, drinking water. I'll drink soda. You know, I feel good drinking. It makes me feel good. You know, it's just like, It was just really stupid, you know, and he'd be like, don't do it. But at the same time, you know, he's like, all right, if that's what you do, that makes you feel good, you know? And, but yeah, he told me all the time, you got to stop doing this stuff. And I'd laugh at now. I'm like, I wish I would listen, you know, yeah. Like you told me to do this when I was wrestling, you know, I would do that. But outside of it, you know, I thought what I was doing was getting the job done, you know, and it was to an extent, but you know, it definitely kind of going back to that time frame, need to change. And you know, it's good to change now.
Yeah, huge. I mean, one of the things I found interesting about your story is that when you first went up in weight classes, you really had a hard time handling the extra weight. I never thought about that, but you think about putting 10, 15 pounds on someone's frame that you actually feel it. And I heard when you were on the T-Run Funky show way back when, that you actually used to get like out of breath walking up the stairs and you doubted if you could even hit an ankle pick anymore. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, so I've gone on weight my whole life, you know, and I didn't really, as a kid, I didn't cut weight. And when I got into in high school, you know, I was an undersized 103 pounder my freshman year. My sophomore year, I cut a little bit of weight, but not really. I mean, weighed 108, 110 pounds, so not much. Then my sophomore year at 112, I cut a lot of weight. I should have gone up, but we had a really good team. We were national champs that year. You know, my best friend was 119 pounds, you know, so it's just like, in my mind, I wasn't going to go up. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, if I would have gone up, that would probably have been better. But that was tough. Then I went up to 135. So from 112 to 135, that was a huge jump. You know, being 103, 112 pound and being really good and really dominant at those weights, and then going to a middleweight. So just to put in perspective, back then, you know, for guys that remember, like, you know, 103, 112, you know, but then at 135, 140, like the Alton brothers were there. Like Josh Kendig was there. So these guys, yeah. And Ian Miller, I ended up wrestling the first match that year at Ironman. Like, I'm just thinking of like, at the time, Alton's were 135, 140 pounds and beating college guys in college opens. So that was a jump that I had made, you know, like from that weight class. That was a huge jump. And I remember same thing. Like, I was like, that adjustment period was tough, but in high school, you're not dealing with like grown men as much, you know? So you're just, like, I remember going to this like Tour de Force camp at the time with Sean Bormet. It was like a really tough, I was wrestling with the Altons and stuff. And I remember it was confidence boosters because like Andrew and I talked about this. Like, he's like, yeah, man, like they would get me on my feet, but I could wrestle with them on the mat. And that was always my, kind of my gift when I wrestled better guys was, in high school, I wasn't really that good on my feet, but I was really good on the mat. I could scramble and I could ride and turn. That's how much I won my biggest matches. So on my feet, I was just like surviving. And I had some good skill, but in my best matches, I was just, it was always mat wrestling. That was like what I relied on. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I can compete at 135. Like, I have some confidence, I can do well. And I had a good year that year. Then in college, you know, went up to 157. That was a big jump, you know? And then I kind of stayed in at 165. But like really looking back, like, I should have gone to 174 and probably ended up 184. You know, like, if I knew what I knew now, like, and what the detriment that I was had to my body to try and keep my weight down and, like, really probably stalemated my development, I probably should have gone up. But same thing, like, I wanted to win national championships as a team. And it was just like, okay, 165 just makes the most sense for this team. And, you know, for me to stay at 165, like, this makes a lot of sense. So when I finally got done, I mean, now we're talking about like an 8-9 year period where I could have been going up in weight during that time, and I wasn't. I was kind of like, well, that's probably not much. Probably like 5 year period where I kind of probably maybe gone up a little bit more than what I did going, and I didn't. Well, I'd gotten used to like always cutting weight, and that was like how I was going to be successful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I did go up finally, and I was putting on that mass, now I'm wrestling like big humans. You know, like full grown beard, like big muscles. I mean, it's just like a different type of person that I'm trying to move. The amount of mass, like, I mean, that I'm trying to like develop and move is tough. So not only am I carrying like a 20 pound backpack, you know, going from like, I would weigh, you know, 180, 185 pounds. So it wasn't like I was really like gaining that much more weight. Like, I weighed, you know, 195, 200 pounds. But it was just like that weight was extra mass I'd never carried before, as well as wrestling guys that I could never wrestle with. So it's like that moving that other mass. So yeah, I mean, I would wrestle for like 30 seconds and I was toast. Like, I mean, it was so bad. I mean, it was embarrassing. I remember practices. I remember one specific practice wrestling Vincenzo. And he was an incoming freshman. And Vincenzo has really heavy hips. I mean, obviously we've seen that. And I go out and I get a takedown, two takedowns. And it was like 5 minutes ago. I don't know. And I just hit this wall, and I remember just feeling so embarrassed. Like, I'm hitting these shots, and he's like running behind me, and I'm just dying. Can't even get up. It's like, I'm like the slowest person. I'm getting taken down. I know if I get back up, I'm going to get taken down again. I remember like this moment and being like, what am I doing? Like, I might need to go back down. Like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, you know? And that was like every practice for me. It was like, I didn't know what my form is going to be like. Am I going to get exhausted? Can I make it through 6 minutes? You know, if I did it again, I think I got up to like 210. Cause I knew that I needed to put the mass on. Like, I'm like, I have to put the mass on so I can gain the weight and like, or I can get strong and then come back down. But like, I was not 210. I mean, obviously terrible. Like, I think that's the most I ever weighed, but I was really like maybe like 205, 206. I went to Azerbaijan, and again, same thing, like embarrassing performance. Like I wrestled my first match, I was wrestling a guy from Uzbekistan. And it's like, if you go back and watch this match, like it's exactly what I'm saying. It's on like YouTube. And I score and we're getting a scramble. And I basically, I'm so tired. I'm like, there's no way I'm winning this match. So I took injury. And it was like, it's embarrassing to think about this, but like I was not hurt, but I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm going to lose this first round match, my first term at A6. Like, I have no chance to win this. I'm so tired. And I'm like, so I get a little bit of time and I win this match, like squeak it barely. And I'm just like, couldn't recover. I'm like, this is like, what am I doing? Like, this is going to be, I don't know how I'm going to recover. So I go wrestle my next match against, I wrestled the guy. Guy's pretty decent. He's at 97 kilo now, but he beat me like 6-0, and it wasn't even really close. Like, I mean, he was just stronger than I was, and I wasn't even close to take him down. I lose this guy. He was wrestling Lashgari from Iran, who at the time was one of the really high-level guys. Mm-hmm. He'd medaled at the Worlds and Olympics. Like, he was like a consistent like bronze medal guy. And Lashgari's beating him, and the guy from Azerbaijan does the classic, like, you know, he's losing, calls injury time, and then gets a takedown right at the end. I'm like, oh, I'm back. I can wrestle for bronze. That was, like, the worst thing. I wrestled Lashgari, tech me 10-0 in, like, 2 minutes. Oh. Just, like, threw me down. I mean, I get tagged by the Iranians in this video every day, pretty much. You know, they're like –
they're relentless on you, the Iranian fans on Instagram. Yeah. They're always tagging you and shit like that. So they tag you in this still?
Oh, this video is like constant. I mean, Agnes. I'm like, guys, this is so long ago. I would gladly wrestle Lashgari right now. Like, let's get him going. Get him out of retirement. Like, I would love to flip the script on this match. But at the time, like, he was the peak, and I'm like terrible. Like, I wasn't even like top 100 in the world at 86 kilos at this time. I was so bad. And but I came off that tournament like I am like lost. Like, this is I'm not even close. You know, but then it's just, you just stay with it. You know, it's just like constant day in, day out, you know, of just getting a little bit better. And by the time the trials came around, I had actually gotten sick and I lost like 10 pounds and I was weighing like 193. And it was like the best thing I did. I started feeling better again. You know, so I think if I would have done it again, I wouldn't have tried to get as big. But, you know.
But before the trials, though, we got to get to the World Cup, man. That's like the big turning point in your career, in my opinion. You could tell me otherwise, but. I didn't even realize that you had gone to that other tournament and gotten teched for third and fourth. And so you have a really tough workout against Vincenzo, but at the whole time, it sounds like you're keeping the dream alive. The Olympic dream never goes out, even though it seems pretty far away at times. Is that fair to say? Or was it getting pretty far away at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I'd gone up and it was as distant as it ever felt, you know, you know, I just kind of, I haven't talked through it a lot. But shortly after that, so this timeline was like, this is like, okay, got back from Armenia, put on this weight. I went like, I think it was like November, went to Azerbaijan. So this is like shortly after gaining like, you know, a bunch of weight, terrible. This is still 2015. So 2016 comes around, Olympic trials. And now after the Olympic trials, that was when I kind of started getting adjusted to the weight. So this is like a full year basically where I'm finally like, okay, I start feeling a little bit better. I'd say kind of two changing points. So in 2000, it's funny because that's so long ago. I just got to try to remember. 2016, I went to the World Clubs Cup.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking of. Sorry. Were you wrestling Sharifov?
You know, so a World Clubs Cup was in like November, December. Then the World Cup was in February. Okay. So just like the amount of like from that period of time was a big deal. So my first match, the World Clubs Cup in Ukraine, I lost this guy from Ukraine. Again, same thing. Like, I'm just like, I mean, I lost. And it was just weird. Like, I mean, I just felt like I wasn't there. And I remember after getting off the, and people, guys, you know, we had a really good team. We won it that year. And, you know, it's like, I was with Dake and Snyder and Derringer and everyone's wrestling well, you know? And I'm just like, people, they don't know what to tell me. They're like, basically I'm like, this guy might be our weakest link on the team. Like, that's basically what that's how I felt. I don't think that's the first dual meet I've ever lost since I was in high school, you know? So I just, it wasn't something, now usually I was reliable, like anchor piece, you know? And so I lose this first match, next match, it's like, felt a little bit better, next match, a little better. And then in our finals match, I wrestled Karimi from Iran, who had just got bronze the year before. And I was kind of back. Like I beat him some scrambles and I won that match pretty handily, like 11-5 or something, and felt good. That was the first sign of like, I made the right decision going up. Then go through Christmas, come back, went to Paris in January and wrestled well. At this point, I'm like begging Bill to go to the World Cup because I'm like, hey, I want to go. I believe. I know exactly the path that we're having. I know I'm wrestling these four like really good guys, and I'm ready for this challenge. You know, so that was like in that six, that, you know, from that period of time, from like November, December, January, February, that 4 month period went from like losing to a terrible person to wrestling, you know, probably the best tournament I've ever wrestled, and then kind of solidifying myself as this was the right decision.
So you go to Iran. What's the war path for you to go through? Because I don't think people would realize how tough that weight was that year for you at the World Cup.
Yeah, so we were like in the pool of death is what they called it. So my first match, I was wrestling Dado Margashvili from Georgia, who, and he had won multiple medals at that time. But, I mean, he really was set up to be in the finals of the Olympics in 2016. You know, he had like a great bracket. And Jaime Espinal beat him first round. And that was, and then Jaime took that path to the finals. So Marcus Billy was pretty good at that time. And so that was my first match. Then I had Baliev from Russia, my second match. Then I had Sharifov from Azerbaijan. I mean, Sharifov has beaten, I mean, he was Olympic champ. He's beaten Kale. He's beaten Kyle. He's beaten Jaden. I mean, he's beaten pretty much all the best guys in the world. I mean, he's lost to Sedulaev pretty close, like in the Europeans, but I mean, he's a guy that's, I mean, he's tricky. He's got a couple good tricks, but he's also just pretty dang good. I think he was trying to go down to 86, you know, for the Olympics. And I think he ended up getting bronze that year. So that was my semis. And then in the finals was Ghazdani from Iran. So, I mean, it was, four world best and two Olympic champions. You know, those are my four matches I had in a row.
Didn't you pin Ghazdani there?
Yeah.
Dude, the excitement when I watch that one is hard to describe, man, especially just knowing all the frustrations and all the challenges you had gone through. It had to be a huge moment.
Yeah, I mean, I walked into that, like, just that was the most excited I had been for a tournament since I can remember. I knew I was going to have this. Like, I'm getting chills right now because it's just that was a huge turning point because to this point, like, it was almost like I had found ways to lose big matches, you know? Like, I beat a lot of really good guys, but over the last handful of years, you know, just, like, thinking about, you know, the matches that I had had is, you know, I wasn't finding ways to win, you know? And it was just I was excited to train. You know, I felt really good going to that tournament. I'm like, this is my chance. Like, this is my chance to really prove that I can – that I deserve to be here, you know, and I can compete on this level. I mean, my first match against Margashvili, I was losing. I mean, I was just like, I was in on shots and he kind of just tricked me and I was losing. And I finally broke through, got a takedown. And then on the whistle start, got a double leg for four. And that kind of like really, I won that match. And then in Valiev, I got forward right off the bat. And then I just like, I mean, I was just all over him. He got so tired. I mean, he couldn't even get off the mat. And I ended up teching him 14-4. So I'm like on a roll. Then I wrestled Sharifov and same thing. Like it just was like hitting my shots, felt great. I teched him 10-0 or 12-2 maybe. Oh. And then going into the finals against, you know, we're in against Iran and we're losing as a team. And this building is like small. So it maybe fits like 2,000 people, but there was like 5,000 people. And
how
it
loud
felt,
was it?
I mean, it just felt so heavy. Like it was like, no, I mean, I've wrestled in Rec Hall, I've wrestled in Carver. I mean, I've wrestled in like the biggest arenas. This was nothing like it because Iranian fans are just like constantly yelling, screaming, horn, trumpets, like this, like constantly on it. And Ghazdani is, I mean, he's like their guy, you know? So it, and I kind of earned their respect because the way that I wrestled early in the bracket, like, cause they all know who these guys are that I've beaten. And I was like kind of getting cheers, like when I was beating these guys, kind of, because Iranian guys, I mean, they're Iranians, they're very big fans of wrestling. I mean, they like good wrestling. They love Yazdani. So I'm very polarized in Iran. Like, they love me or they hate me. There's nothing really in between because of that. So I'm wrestling Yazdani and come out. I remember it's like, I mean, he's just like, I mean, his pace is insane. You know, it's like, and he was on me. And I got caution. I had two cautions in the first 3 minutes on push out. So he had pushed me out and they were cautioning me, you know? So it's like, okay, in three cautions, you're out, you're disqualified. So I remember I got hit for my second caution. So I'm down 2-0 or 3-0. And the whistle starts and then he stops it. And he's like, basically looks at me. He's like, hey, you have two cautions. Essentially, if you get pushed out one more time in this match, you're disqualified. That was basically what he was telling me. You know, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I got to get going, you know. And that was that point where I had to make a decision where, okay, I'm either going to disqualify, embarrassed, or I have to fight and find a way to get through this dude that I haven't got close to even getting position on for the first 2 minutes. And I get a takedown right at the end of the period, like right in the period, 1 second left. So I go in the break 3-2, and I'm like, I'm right here. I'm right where I want to be against this guy. We come out, we get an exchange. He gets a push out, but we're like in that scramble. I was in a quad pod, so it was 4-2. Then we come back in, and this was like probably the biggest spot of the match. He snapped me down, and he's like running corner, and I like stand up, get in a scramble, and I sit corner. Now it's like I've been kind of dominated, but it's 4-4. I have two takedowns. He has three. He has four push outs. So now I'm winning on criteria, and I come back and be like, okay, well, now he's got to take me down, you know. The next exchange, I get another takedown. So now I'm up 6-4. And I'm like, he's exhausted. I'm exhausted. But I'm beating him back in the middle. And he's going to have to take me down. He hasn't taken me down yet. He has to take me down. He can't take – I'm like, he's not taking me down. And this time the crowd's loud and all, you know, all this kind of stuff. The next exchange, I re-attack him. I take him down, split the middle, and pin him. And it's just like I get up and it's like – crazy emotion. It's like basically all these things I've been talking about over the last like how many years. I pinned the world champion, like Olympic champion, like the best guy that you know, that gone through this gauntlet of four people. And it's just like all this like frustration and, you know, am I gonna be able to like get through? It just kind of solidified. And it was just dead silent. Like it was like dead silent in this arena. And then it just erupted, you know, and it's just like crazy, you know. And I think that was a huge, I mean, that's just, that moment is something I always remember. And it's just been a huge, huge changing moment, you know, just from a confidence perspective, you know, at 86 kilos, you know, obviously like wrestling a guy of that caliber, being in those like fight or flight situations and determining like, hey, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to fight, you know, and find a way to get this done.
Dude, the amount of times that you could have hit the panic button and escaped is crazy. I mean, even in that match, once you'd already had a great tournament, you're down, you know, 4-0 or 2-0, whatever it was. You could have been DQ'd. I mean, there were so many places to bow out, but you kept going. And then, lo and behold, the next year at the Worlds, 2018 Worlds, first round, you got this guy again. What's your self-talk going into that match?
I mean, it was the same thing. Like, I knew going into it, like, I had prepared that I was going to wrestle in the first round because he hadn't competed that year, so he had no seeding points. And I think I was – number one seed on point. No, I wasn't. The Turkey guy was number one because he just got like the easiest draw everywhere he went. He placed in every single tournament. So he had more points than I did. And I'd won. I'd gone to four tournaments, won four tournaments. He'd gone to like six tournaments, placed in six tournaments. So he was the number one. So I was number two seed. And I just had this feeling that Yazdani's unseeded. I'm going to wrestle him first round. And sure enough, like bracket comes out. I remember like, you know, hey, Coach Zadik, who do I got? You know, and, you know, Coach Russell, who do I got? And they're kind of looking at me like, they're like, you got Yazdani. Like, they're nervous. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, I'm so pumped. I'm like, I'm ready to go. You know, they're like, yeah, okay, like, yeah, let's go. Yeah, it's going to be great, you know? And I'm like, listen, if there's anybody prepared to wrestle this kind of guy first round, it's me. You know, like, I'm more prepared. I'm excited. My weight's under control. I mean, there's like, let's go. Like, I mean, just beat the best guy first round, you know? But then it's like, okay, what I got? Oh, I got this guy next round. Oh, Belarus. Okay, he won the last tournament. Oh, I got Torblanka. Man, I barely beat him twice this year. Russia, okay. So I'm like, okay, not only got to beat Yazdani, but I got to beat literally the next best guys in the bracket every round after that to get to the finals. But I'm like, okay, I got to focus on this match only first. And it's the same thing. I mean, I knew it was going to be an absolute battle. And it was this, it was almost, I mean, the match was scripted almost the same as the last one. I mean, if I had stopped wrestling in positions I think I went back and looked at it, and he would have scored like 11 straight points on me. You know, if I would have just stopped wrestling, let him get to go behind, let him get to take down the edge, you know, do his things. And that was the difference for me, you know? So instead of it being 11-0, I went in the breakdown 6-2, which is still not ideal.
Yeah.
You know, those little things, you know, against a guy like that has added up, you know, and I think it added up in that match and was able to come back in the second period and score 9 straight points. And, you know, a guy like that, he dominates everybody, you know, and I just have been the only one that can withstand his early just pace, which is, I mean, I wrestle high pace and his early pace is higher than my pace, you know, and it's just, you know, it's exhausting. You know I have to wrestle that point of just pure exhaustion where the technique isn't even there anymore. It's just like, it's reactionary. That's really what it is. I mean, we both wrestle so hard that if you get that point where someone's going to give, and so far, and in the last two matches, he's given, obviously he's going to make adjustments to that. I'm making adjustments to that as well. But I mean, that match is there's so many like exchanges that we wrestle. It's not like most high level matches. It's like one exchange. I mean, we have more exchanges in the first 15 or 20 seconds of our matches than most high level matches have the entire time at that level. So, I mean, you know, we have 20, 30 scoring exchanges in our matches that, and maybe they're zero, maybe they're push out, maybe they're a takedown the opposite direction. I mean, that's just the way that we are. And then to be have to recover and do that, you know, 4 more matches, you know, and then with him too, you know, losing, you know, he'd won the last 2 years, dominated pretty much everybody. I mean, he pretty much techs or pins everyone he wrestles. I mean, there's no close matches. Guys that I struggle with to score on, he throws around like ragdolls. I mean, he's very good technically, and he just has this aura of dominance that people are just fear. They fear him. And I mean, and after that match, I mean, he just killed everybody. He dominated everyone. Come back and get bronze, you know. So, I mean, that's a guy that I think about for sure when I'm training. You know, I know like he's young. He's gonna keep getting better and stronger. And but you know, that's an exciting thing to think about. You know, that rivalry that we've had is. I think it's, you know, it's one of the probably biggest ones.
I love it. It's big. It's a huge one for sure. I mean, there's a lot of great matches out there right now. The one thing I wanted to ask you before we move on from this to some other more tactical questions is when the coaches told you who you had and you felt like you were ready, I know we've all been there before when we say we're ready, but deep down we know we're lying to ourselves. Did you ever have any sense of doubt? And if so, how do you manage that before a match like that?
So I had earlier in my career.
Yeah.
But not when I didn't. You know, I was just like, I'm at peace with it. I had done everything to prepare. There was no stone unturned, you know, it's just like my diet, my nutrition, my training, my preparation, my peaking, my recovery, like everything I had done right. You know, it's just like I had been in my mind, I believed that I'd been the best in the world for 2 years, and I'd sat and watched, and it was my time. You know, it was just like, although I didn't wrestle a great first period in that match, you know, like, but I think it was just kind of will, you know, like I told you at that point, and it was because I believed in a lot of factors that would make a difference in that match. And yeah, I mean, sure. I'm sure everyone has a little bit of doubts at different times, but I just didn't, you know, I just knew like, if I want to be a world champion, which is something I've said since I was a kid, that I got to go through this guy. So there's just no way around it. You either get it done or you go home. You know, that was it.
Yep. Dude, it's awesome to watch. And your story is incredible because you've been the face of wrestling for a long time, but I don't think a lot of people realize the struggles you went through internally from call it 14 through 2018. And I always imagine that if you would have told a young David Taylor in 2014 that you wouldn't make a world team until 2018, you probably would have lost it and thought, what the hell happened? You know, but to get there now, it's just incredible to see where you're at. Awesome. Thank you again, sir. It's awesome. And like I said, been a fan for a long time from afar, and look forward to the future, brother.
Thank you.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Orgaine. Clean nutrition to help you stay healthy, active, and feeling your best. New subscribers save 30% at orgain.com/pages/Spartan. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Combat Series on Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week,
Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics, to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time.